Appreciate those kind words. Thank you for having me. I have got I know they've got some books, and I've got a three sermon series on humility. You ought to hear it. It's tremendous. And so I'd like to try to, I'm just kidding. Amen. I tell you what, brother, it's good to see y'all again. I'm telling you, I don't know, Sister Willistine, there's no telling how much your food that I've ate in years gone by. Man, great memories that I have of coming here. And I will posthumously honor Brother Sutton. He let me come over here and preach. And man, I just to be able to come over here and preach to Brother Shepherd. This was the place that you preached the message on baptism. Brother Farrell Shepherd preached the best message on water baptism in this church that I have ever heard in my life. Brother Hill, it's so good to see you again, preacher. I'm glad you're still in the fight, and bless the Lord for that. And in this meeting, just great preachers. Brother Travis Clayton preached over here, and he's the one taught us that we're going through the first 3.5 years of tribulation. And so that was good. I'm just kidding about that. Let's got y'all to laugh or smile or something. Amen. What'd y'all say? What'd y'all give them persimmons to eat over here? Amen. No, I'm just kidding. I'm a little nervous. I have to settle down a little bit. Appreciate Brother Seaton, of course. My oldest boy, is married to Esther, Brother Jim's daughter. And he was coming down. I didn't even know it was him. I was there in the barn. I was putting some hay out before I left. And I looked and seen Brother Jimbo coming down the driveway. And I didn't even know it was him. I said, man, that's a nice vehicle right there. And drove all the way to Amory, Mississippi to pull next to it over there. It's parked in the motel. And always a blessing to hear Brother Jimbo preach. And just to be able to come back here brought back a lot of memories. Now I'm on preaching. But listen, I'll be done here in just a minute. And I know some of you are saying, Lord, I hope he don't preach an hour and a half. Or I hope he don't preach an hour. And y'all know what I mean. I've been to camp meetings and meetings like that. And you're like, brother, hang an amen on that thing. Brother, you've been up there an hour and a half. I mean, stop. We got it, man. We got it. But I won't preach that long tonight. And I do apologize. I am going to have to leave after the morning service. I don't like to try to hit and run because I just don't like to do it. But I have gotten to leave after the morning service. Brother Ronnie, thank you for the kind words, the opportunity to come. And, man, it's an honor to be here and just to be in your presence tonight. Preachers, thank you for coming and taking time to be here. And just glad that the Lord put me in this crowd. Amen. I'm glad to be here tonight. 1 Kings chapter number 21, 1 Kings 21. And I appreciate Brother Jimbo minding the Lord. And I'm going to try to do the best I can tonight for the Lord. This is what God's put on my heart. Amen. And Brother Sable has probably had as many messages stolen as probably about anybody. And I remember he made a statement. He preached on Jonah over at Brother Brock's. And I never forgot that message. It just, man, how in the world did me and you get here, really? You think about where the Lord's brought us from and saved us and put us amongst these kind of people. And I'm just grateful for that tonight. 1 Kings chapter 21. Let's stand as we read the word of the Lord, as our custom is. They do that up in the mountains. We do that over in Georgia as well. 1 Kings in chapter number 21. And the book of 1 Kings, of course, is established. The fact of Ahab is just a very immoral king. He's a wicked king. He's ungodly and vile. And his wife, Jezebel, was worse than he was. And she not only wrought great evil, but she influenced Ahab to do the same. And I tell you, behind every good man is a good woman, but I believe this, behind every bad man is a bad woman. Because there'd been some women, if I had to live with them, I'm like, brother, I don't even know why you even come. I mean, why you even here? to put up with that. And so thank God for women that stand behind their men and influence them in a positive way. I tell you, I ain't preaching on this tonight, but I'll say this. I believe that part of the problem we let Independent Baptists have it, and I guess that's the night to do it. It's not the women. I believe it's the men. Just sorry, won't hit a lick at a black snake. I mean, I'm talking about just people who just need to man up. We need some men. Amen. We need a revival of manhood in our country. 1 Kings 21 don't have nothing. Well, I may work it in the message. It'll be in here somewhere. All right. 1 Kings 21 said, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. Thank you. You can be seated. I do appreciate you standing. I'm a little bit loud, probably. And so I'm going to try to adjust this just a tad bit. And if I get too loud for you, if you do like this, you ain't going to hurt my feelings. My wife and family does that all the time, okay? But I don't want to be too loud. I don't want to blow you out tonight. And I'll preach quick tonight. 1 Kings 21, you see this man by the name of Naboth, a man that thought that, you know, he had everything ready, had everything settled, had a good vineyard. And about that time, King Ahab shows up at his house, as I've read there, and really makes him what we would say would be a reasonable offer. You look at this offer that Naboth makes, and he said, you know what, I'll give you equal to this or even better than this. And Naboth says, no, I can't do it. He refuses. So Ahab goes back to his palace, and he pouts, and of course was easily manipulated here by the queen, and she replied with this taunt in verse 7. I didn't read all of it. So Ahab conspired, and he adds murder to his resume and takes out this man by the name of Naboth, and Jezebel and her henchmen go out, and it leads to his death. And they said that they heard him curse the Lord, which he did not, and curse the king, which was treason. And the king thought, well, what is the big deal about this? I've gave you a good deal on it. I'm going to give you above and beyond really what it's worth. But to King Ahab, he saw this as just a piece of parcel of land. And he said, I don't understand. You can go somewhere else and have a greater vineyard. And Naboth said, no, because it wouldn't mean that to me. You see, behind this and behind Naboth, he said, I'm not going to sell you this because you can't replace what I've got. Because Naboth wouldn't even think about negotiating, because to him it wasn't just vines and dirt. It wasn't just a parcel of ground. It wasn't just sod. It was a place where Naboth had spent his childhood, and how he had had a lot of holy memory, no doubt, associated with that spot. Now, to the king, it was just a piece of property. But to Naboth, he was there, and it was a place of his heritage. As a little boy, had a lot of memories there. And what he did, he said, you know, this vineyard means something to me. And Naboth said, this vineyard is valuable to me. Now, I'm going to preach a little bit tonight on the value of our vineyard, the value of a vineyard. Now, what we have here tonight is valuable to me. It should be valuable to me and you, because there's not a lot of these meetings like this that you could get together that people still believe the King James Bible. They still believe you're saved by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. They still believe in a premillennial rapture, amen, and that we're getting out of here, praise God, and getting out of here like Superman, coming back like the Lone Ranger, amen. We're part of the Saddle Club. If you're saved by the grace of God, we're coming back on a white horse. We believe that. And if you don't believe that, you ought to believe it, amen, because it is true. But this is valuable to me. When I'm invited to come to a place like this, Brother Ernest, it's valuable because you don't have this much anymore, Brother Ware. And I think about where we come from, Brother Josh. I think about Brother Shepherd, where we got started and where we are now. And the reason that I believe that a lot of men have gone the way that they have gone is the fact that they never valued what they had. It wasn't something that was valuable to them. And I have been disappointed. I have been hurt. I have been let down by a lot of men. But I have never been disappointed in Jesus Christ. And you'll never be disappointed in Jesus. And if you'll get your mind on the Lord and get your eyes on Jesus, you'll never be disappointed. But the sad thing is, you and I are all influenced by somebody else. And we're all influenced by individuals, whether it be positively or whether it be negatively. And so we need to keep that in mind as we get on up in years. But I've just come to the conclusion it didn't mean to them anymore what it used to mean to them. And what happened in this text, there was an imminent threat on Naboth and his vineyard and his family and his posterity that needed to be met with fierce opposition. Now, I tell you where we're losing it today. And I'm not talking about being haughty. And I'm not talking about picking a fight with somebody. And I'm not talking about taking shots at somebody at a camp meeting. That's a coward, amen. I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about getting some wherewithal about us, amen. And I'm telling you what, I'm talking about pulling up your bootstraps and tightening up your belt a little bit and saying these things are worth standing for and they're worth fighting for because we're not the ones that gave it to us. There's a generation before us that gave us what we got. I'm not apologizing tonight that I sat behind men that ate about a half a bag of 16 penny nails, chasing with some diesel fuel, shut their hand in the car door about five times, and get the pulpit preach the devil out of us. Amen? Because that's exactly what we needed. I was a little nervous. I feel a little better right now, Brother Ronnie. Amen. I'm just telling you the value of a vineyard. First of all, you've got Naboth's background. See, he had a father that had labored and given him that vineyard. Beneath those vines and trees, he had a father that had labored, that had digged there, and had drank from the wells that had been digged from somebody else because his granddaddy did it, and his granddaddy did it. Hey, Naboth was a young man when he walked those hills and said, you know what? I'm drinking from a well that I didn't dig. I'm enjoying a lot of pleasure that I did not labor for. I tell you where we are in this generation right now. A lot of young men have inherited the church. They don't have any skin in it. They don't have anything, no labor, no blood, sweat, and tears. And they come in the church and they rip the preacher's name off every sign and they try to take down the memory of a man that gave decades and decades. When you got some preacher that just might just need to be saved, and he shows up at the church and wants to jerk down everything in the previous administration and put their name up there. That's a problem. We got a lot of people, they want a name. I feel like I'm in a Baptist hospital sometimes. Amen. Amen. Everybody all right? Doctor this and doctor that and doctor this. You say you got a doctor? No, I'm orderly. Amen. I clean up the message that the doctors make. Amen. Hey, and I'm not against you getting a title at all. And y'all know this. I'm not at all. I'm telling you, when you make demands, that you need to be called doctor, and this is one of my hobby horses, and I'm going to ride it again. Amen. I'm telling you, if you're saved by the grace of God, we're washed in the same blood, born of the same spirit, serving the same Father, there ain't no five-star generals in this outfit. Amen. We're all saved by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing, and we're all on the same side, headed to the same place. Amen. I made that joke about humility. I mean, listen, you say, I ain't got no problem with humility. I ain't got no problem with pride. No, your problem's lying. Amen. We've all got it. We've all got a problem with it, and we all have to deal with it. Amen. You say, where that's at? That's in 1 Kings 21 right in there. You read it. Amen. But Naboth came to the conclusion he was just a steward. He didn't labor for all of that. God just gave it to him. He was a steward, and that's what me and you need to understand. We are a servant, but we're also a steward because there's been people that's fought the battle that we're not going to have to fight. Now, there's battles that we're fighting. Now, you know, preachers used to be called hard, and they used to be called arrogant and rigid, and they're called that today because they'll get up and say a man ought to look like a man and a woman ought to look like a woman. I'm telling you, did you ever think that we'd be talking about transgender?
You ever think we'd have that conversation? I tell you why we're having that conversation right now. It's because preachers have dropped the ball. Amen. Now listen, I'm not here on no hobby horse, and I'm not here trying to hurt nobody's feelings, but a man ought to look like a man and a woman ought to look like a woman. And the reason we got people right now that's running around and you can't tell a difference is because preachers quit preaching it because they're afraid they're going to run somebody off. Amen. That's the truth. You say you preach like this at Concord, they'll tell you I do. You say, how's it go over? About like it is right now, amen. But it's still right, and it's still true. Amen. I understand that's where we are. We wonder why everybody's gone away while they're doing these things, and now you've got shims running around, and you got people, nobody saying nothing about it. Mark my words, you listen to what I'm telling you. You never thought we'd be where we are right now. There'll be a day where they'll be coming in the church and bringing their animals in. I'm not talking about some kind of dog, a seeing-eyed dog. Amen. Listen to me. That's where we are. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, Proverbs 22:18. Let's get back to the Bible. Proverbs 22:18 said, remove not the ancient landmark which thy father has set. Hey, some of our, well, I'm talking about our spiritual forefathers, they set some parameters and they said, that's it, buddy. I mean, listen, I'm talking about the pillars of the church that had been planted, and we wouldn't be where we are today without them. And you don't put time into something unless it's valuable to you. You have to do it on purpose. You got to make a decision for the next generation. I'm not trying to get political tonight, but I'm saying we're probably going to go through some tough times here for a little while in this country to fix a lot of wrongs that's been done. Now, I'm talking about Republican and Democrat. It's going to take a little while. We didn't get it overnight, and we're not going to get out of it overnight. But I am telling you, it's going to take everybody in this building to say, you know what? I tell you what we're going to do. If you're a young man, if you're a woman in here, and you got your blue jeans hit out, what you need to do is take them, and don't even take them to the Goodwill. Set fire to the things. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody all right? Everybody love your mama. Okay, everybody okay? Amen. That's exactly, it is right. It's right. Well, it don't matter what you look like. And God looks at you, He does look at your heart, but we're not trying to win God. We're trying to win the world. And you ought not look like the world, dress like the world, act like the world, and talk like the world. Amen, that is right. It said, well, that don't matter. I thought about this, Brother Shepherd. Here's what I thought. Well, it don't matter what you look like, and people ought not judge you what they look like. They may ought not to, but they do. They do. This is straight from the Bible. Exodus chapter number 2. I thought about when Moses went on the run. Thank God for the grace of God. The man that wrote, thou shalt not kill, was guilty of first degree murder. So thank God for grace tonight. Amen. But here's what he said. In verse 16 of Exodus 2, said, now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up, helped them, and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that you're come to so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hands of the shepherds. Moses was not an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew. You say, how'd they know? How did they know that he was an Egyptian? It had to be either how he talked, how he looked. That's all they had to go by. Buddy, there's some of the things that the Egyptians do that we don't need to do, amen? And tattoos is one of them. Now, I know, listen, I love Zeke, and preacher knows that I love Zeke. I'm saying, listen, we got them singing in our choir. I hope nobody gets mad about that. And they can't do that. They can't do a do-over, and it costs too much money to get them removed. But I'm telling you this, don't get no more. Amen. I mean, listen, Brother Jimbo's driving that AT4. When you get done tonight, go out to the dollar store and get you some spray paint on it, whatever your name is. If your name's Bob, write on that white AT4 in black paint, right? Bob was here. So just figure out how quick it'd be for the Amory Police Department to show up around here and how quick they'd haul you off. You say, why'd you say that? Because that ain't your property. You done painted something on something that didn't belong to you. And that's what happens when you get saved by the grace of God. You're not your own anymore. Amen. Number one. Number two, you'll get a tattoo of Mom on your arm. When you're 45, it'll say Moom, and it'll be on the back of your shoulder blade. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about, Right? Man, Naboth's blessing. What about a blessing? It was a vineyard. It was fruitful. There are tangible evidence that the God was blessing that man. Now listen, I know we can't go by signs. I understand that. I know that. But I'm telling you, you can tell if somebody's got a touch of God on their life. And you can tell if a preacher's got a touch of God. You can tell if a singer's got a touch of God. And you can tell if a church has got the touch of God. I'm not talking about counting numbers. I'm not talking about that. People say, well, sure, we're all growing around here. We're growing by leaps and bounds. You're not growing, you're swelling. Amen. You run over a dead possum, he'll be twice as big as he is 3 days later, especially in the summertime. He ain't growing, he's swelling. Amen. If you want to holler soon when the hogs got after you, amen, you're not growing. It takes some time, amen. It takes some effort. And it's a blessing. It's fruitful. And thank God for a place where we can come and come apart. But the Bible said in Ephesians 4:27, said, neither give place to the devil. That's where we get the word geography. It's a geographical area. And you know what we've done? We've gave up a lot of things in our church because we don't. Hey, listen, you don't want to be considered. You don't want to say, well, you know, I guess they drank in the Kool-Aid down there. Well, you hear it? If you believe anything, well, you're a member of a cult down there. I guess you go to that cult down there. And you don't want to be labeled like that. When visitors come to your church on Sunday, you don't want to be labeled like that. I mean, listen, Brother Ronnie, I know it's got to be this way, Brother Shepherd. It's like, man, you knock on doors, you invite people to come, and finally there's somebody will show up, and it's like, oh my, couldn't have come last week? I preached on Calvary, I was so sweet, gave everybody a toothache. Why did they have to come today? I mean, you know what I found out? Brother Ernest, people now, they've been lied to so many times by every fancy down in town, by some tank top wearing, Bermuda flip flop wearing preacher, that wouldn't preach against nothing, amen, and they've been soft-soaked and been lied to. I tell you, I got lied to before I got saved. I wanted to go somewhere where the man of God, praise God, would peel back my hide, tell me where I needed to get right and get the junk out of my life. Amen. We don't need to be told how good we are. Amen. We need something. I'm not talking about every time. Amen. You can't do surgery without taking somebody to the pre-op. And I'm not talking about every single service, but I'm telling you, if you'll weed it every once in a while, you won't have to bush hog. Amen. Man. I'm talking about some tangible things. They need to be some areas in your church you just mark off. Amen. The Sunday school, devil's not going to get in the Sunday school. Devil's not going to get into music. And he'll try, I'll assure you of that. Somebody said when the devil got kicked out of heaven, he ended up in the choir loft. But I don't know about all that. But I am saying this, friend. You got to guard some things. We got to guard some things. Because if you just let it go, I'm telling you, let it go and you let it go. I know what I'm talking about, and I ain't pastored as long as a lot of you in here. I'm telling you what I figured out. But if you just let it go, it's going to get you. The sin that you let go will be the one that'll get you. So you just got to, I mean, listen, just raw bone. I mean, get down where it's at. You're going to lose some sleep over it. There's going to be struggles about it. There's going to be strife about it. But you deal with it because you'll be glad that you did. Why is that? Because it will bring forth that peaceable fruit that will remain. People will appreciate you being honest. People will say, preacher, and we got, listen, I know y'all probably better than we are, but we got people, I mean, they're throwing the britches out and then going back and buying the same ones at the Goodwill. They throw the cigarettes out on the way to church and hunt them on the way home. Throw the snuff out on the way to church and hunt it on the way home. What do you do to them? You just keep telling the truth. You keep saying, brother, I love you. I've been right there, and God will help you get rid of it, and just keep hammering and hammering and hammering and hammering. Amen. Naboth's beliefs. You know, we need to, and I'm King James, amen. I am the King. I mean, listen, I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Amen. And unless y'all think I drove in on the turnip truck, we believe in the verbal plenary interpretation of the Bible. You say, what does that mean? I mean, God meant what He said when He said what He did, amen. And He's big enough to support it and big enough to inspire it. But we need more than just an emotional attachment. I'm King James, preacher. I'm King James. Praise God for it. But we need more than just an emotional attachment to the Bible. We need to know why we are. And here's what people will say. You know, you look at this and say, well, why did he do this? It went beyond emotions. And I'm an emotional guy. You probably figured that out. I'm an emotional guy. It's got to go beyond emotions. Because there'll be people in your church, and I like to hear amens. I like it. But there'll be people in your church. They're not going to shout you down while you're preaching. They're not going to scream and shout hallelujah. But I tell you what they will do. They'll try their best to line up with it. I'd 10 times rather have somebody sitting there like a sponge, soaking it up and responding, than it would say amen, 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 amen over and over, and not hearing the word and not doing nothing about it. But we got to go beyond our emotions. You know why he did what he did? Because Leviticus 25:23 had already said in the word of God, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me. God had expressly forbidden the sale of property, and Naboth knew that, and it had been passed down from generation to another generation to another generation. Numbers 36, verse 7, I know I'm giving you a headache. I'll be done here in a minute. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And we have been correct in our teachings. The preachers who preach to us about purity and holiness and godliness and righteousness were right. They were right. It wasn't they were wrong. It wasn't they were sticks in the mud. It wasn't they were fuddy-duddies. They were men of God full of the Holy Ghost that had a prayer life, that spent time with God. And when they went to the pulpit, they had something to say because they got it from God, not toolazytostudy.com. Amen. That's where we got our myth. That's where we got it. Hey, just blame. If you want to blame somebody, blame the generation before. And the generation before. Hey, man, there's a lot of you in here got saved as a result of Brother Percy Ray. Get some of them tapes that they preached over there at Camp Zion. I mean, listen, I'm talking about peeling it, getting down there where it's at. And it ain't going to hurt nobody. It amazes me. We got people that, you're talking about being on foreign fields. I had people shooting at them and had to duck, bullets flying over their head, and getting mad at the preacher because he said something about their sin. I'm like, you big baby. Amen. I mean, listen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey. Amen. And I go around the building, tell us what the church is for. Tell us what the church is to win souls. I believe it. Knock on doors. Amen. You say, I don't like y'all's visitation. Hey, I don't like the way y'all do it. I told Brother Ernst, I said, well, I like the way we doing it better than the way y'all ain't doing it. Amen. All right. What's the church for, preacher? Well, we would do that. And I'm missions. I understand that. I know that. I believe that. But the Bible said this about the church, that we are to be the pillar of truth. We are to tell the truth. That is what the church is to do. And sometimes the church is going to hurt you if you get there and you want to be told the truth. But it is going to help you. People that love you and appreciate you, buddy, they're going to tell you the truth. It's not tell us how good we are, preacher. Tell us the truth. And purity is not going to come from a polluted mind. It's not going to come from... And now we're fighting this at the church. I bet it's just like everybody else is. Brother Josh, you know. Brother Josh, I love him. I appreciate him. When he's there at the church, he sits on the front row. And he sits right there. And if y'all ever seen that Ronald Reagan video when John Hinckley shoots Ronald Reagan? There's a man that when the shot starts ringing, he dives right in front of President Reagan. You can watch it. That's him right there. That's the guy there at Concord. I'm like, now listen, Brother Josh, if you even think it's firecrackers, just hop out right there and protect me. I need help. Brother Josh will tell you this. At the church, we ain't got it all together. We don't have it all together. That's not what the church is for. The church is not for people who have it all together. The church is for people who need to get it all together. And we got somebody that is complete and help us get it all together. But you're not going to get it all together if you don't get it all. Amen. You're not going to get it all together if you don't get it all. There's going to be some times where the preacher's just going, he's going to plow you tater patch. I guarantee you there's been times in Naboth's life where the preacher come by, the man of God came by and said, Naboth, what are you doing? Hey, thank God for somebody that'll do that. We need to be challenged in these days. We need to love the truth. Christianity's not cool. That's what everybody wants. I'm safe in this category. Everybody wants their pastor to look like they've been to GQ and like they got a membership down there at the 24-hour gym and spend more time in this. And I'm not against being in shape, amen. I mean, look at me. I'm not against being in shape. But I'm just telling you, your preacher ought to be the biggest nerd in town. Your pastor ought to be, well, our pastor's cool. He's cool. I tell you what I'd do. I'd ship up and ship out. Get out of there, amen. I mean, I'm talking about get up, get your family out of that outfit, and get you somewhere where you've got a preacher that'll preach the whole counsel of God to you. It'll help you, amen. You know, we've and y'all deal with it here, I'm sure. The music. Music now. And I don't think Jesus would have done it this way. No, I don't think Jesus would have done it this way. I'm going to preach a message on how did Jesus do it? How did he do it? I tell you what he did. People say, well, you're going to give somebody, well, you know, that kind of preaching, give somebody a complex. You're going to give somebody a complex preaching like that. No, that's what your psychiatrist tells you. If that's the case, Jesus was giving people complexes. You know what he told Martha? Come on in the house. You know what he told Martha? He said, Martha, you need to be more like your sister. That's in your King James Bible. He said, he compared. He said, you need to be more like your sister. You just didn't preach to give nobody no complex. I tell you what happened, brother. Listen, Brother Ernest. You know that's the truth. That woman at the well in John chapter number 4, there had been a lot of churches. That one been teaching. She'd have been teaching Sunday school in about 2 weeks. Lord, ever give us this water. Give me a drink of this water. They'd have poured the water down her. They'd have got her down in the baptismal pool. I mean, they'd put a robe on her. They'd put her in charge of some Sunday school. And she wasn't saved. Here's how Jesus prayed. And she said, give me a drink of this water. He said, well, go get your husband. He dealt with her adultery. Hey, now I'm going to tell you this. You're gonna have it and you're going to fight it in every church. But you better fight it. And the reason right now that you got a lot of, I'm talking about in churches as a whole, that you got that going on, you better stay on top of it. You better preach against it. You better cry out against it. Because I'm telling you, we are preaching to a generation right now that has got so much access on their phone, they can look at nakedness and wickedness and ungodliness. It's at their fingertips. That's why we've got to keep our hand on that. Amen. You used to hear it regularly. We got people in the church that have been divorced and remarried. Some of the best men we got. Amen. I mean, some of the best ones we got. You know what they do? Preacher, tell it. Because I don't want my children to go through what I went through. It's not God's will for that to happen, but it happens. What you do to them? You can't unscramble eggs. You try to preach it to them. You try to help them. Amen. But you're not going to help somebody by watering down and avoiding. Hey, you don't want them to leave. I don't want them to leave. I mean, the devil runs stuff through your mind, even good members. You're like, well, I wonder where they are. I guess they got mad about this, that, or the other. Amen. That's the truth. Now we got the hippie Jesus, psychologist Jesus, don't want to hurt nobody's feelings Jesus, chosen Jesus. I'm not preaching one time, so you say, I ain't coming back. Well, I'm going to load you up real good tonight. I'm going to give you just good measure, pressed down, shake together, and run it over. I'll give you a better deal than that, and they'll give you down there to Sonic, okay? The chosen Jesus. Listen, God told them, and my Bible reading's in Deuteronomy, and yours is too, if you got one of them things you get from the Rock of Ages about reading your Bible. You know what God told them over and over in Deuteronomy? Don't make no graven images. No graven images. No graven images. God never intended for us to have an image of His Son in our mind. Never. Not one time did God ever, that's idolatry. Amen. We have simplified it down. And hey, I'm going to tell you right now, the people that put that thing together, I don't know how many messages I had to do some digging about some of that stuff. But that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants the peace, love, cosmic awareness, Jesus. They don't want the Jesus that came in the house of God, turned the tables, whipped up a message, and drove the sinners out. That's it. That's what he did. Amen. I'm not talking about sinners that came in, and I mean, I'm not talking about harlots. I'm talking about religious people that'll come in. You can't tell them nothing. They've got enough religion to be dangerous. That's the kind of people Jesus dealt with. Right now, everybody, oh, they love this social Jesus. The feed us Jesus. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Amen. Jesus dealt with sin. Amen. And that's exactly what we need to do. Amen. All right. I need to get back in the text right here. Are we eating anything after service? All right. Well, praise God. Just make sure they don't put... Hey, but Sister Willistine, make sure there ain't no strychnine, whatever I'm eating back there. Okay. There's a boundary. The blessings, the background, but the boundary. Back in the days of Naboth, every time they'd cultivate, they didn't have somebody shooting it with a transit to mark out where the line was. Way they did is way back generation before Naboth ever got there. Great, 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 great Danny, granddaddy of Naboth said, boys, take that rock and walk as far as you can walk and put it way out yonder. And go to this corner and put another one way out yonder. Put another one way out yonder. So they had the four corners marked of the property. And then what they began to do is drop the plow. And every time they dropped the plow, the more the rocks would come up and say, boys, make a wall down through there. Hey, I got news for you tonight. God didn't send us down here to build no bridge. We ain't in the bridge building business. We in the wall building business. Amen. That's exactly how they made their walls. The more they plowed, the more rocks came up. They took the rocks and they stacked the rocks around that property. I don't know how high the rock was when Naboth was there. It was high enough to where the enemy couldn't get in. But it was visible enough to where the fruit on the inside could be seen. That's the way we need to be in church. We need to be lowly enough and humble enough for sinners to understand, hey, this man's going to love me, but he's going to tell me the truth. But we need to be accessible enough for sinners to be appealed by what we got on the inside. Hey man, I've been to some churches so dead, if you dial 911 because somebody passed out, you'd have dragged five or six of them out before you got the right one. I'm talking about dead. Amen. I mean, listen, you ought to go to church and people were on the outside of that building. Brother Brock. Well, how's everything? Boy, I tell you what, I'm saved. And God's good. And I tell you what, sir, can I? Yeah, you can't help me. Be quiet. You know what? You tell folk about the Lord, the toughest ones, the boys that look like if they ain't Hell's Angels, they'll do to the Hell's Angels get here. Most of them guys, why, they're pretty hospitable towards you. Every once in a while, you'll get cussed out or whatever, but not most of the time. But you know the toughest people, preacher, you know this. Well, you witnesses, well, young man, can't you see I drive a Lexus? Praise God, amen. If you can drive a Lexus, we need some help at Faith Baptist Camp, praise God. Amen, either that or S-U-T-H-E-R-L-A-N-D if you're filling out the checks. Those are the toughest people. Because what do I need God for? I got a home, I've got all this property, I've got all these things. But them old sinners... They need to know. You know what? Them people inside that building right there, that people inside there, they've got something that I don't have. They love their salvation. They love their God. They love their church. They love their meeting. I'll tell you, your neighbors know what you get excited about. I mean, your neighbors are pretty much figure out, hey, there's something must be going on down there at the church. We ain't seen them Monday night, Tuesday night, or Wednesday night. Amen. Instead of, listen, fighting and cutting up one another and cussing out the coon dogs on Saturday night. And then go to church on Sunday morning, feel like you're doing God a favor. Don't go back Sunday night. Your neighbors know that. Our neighbors know what's important to us. We need to be humble enough and lowly enough, amen, to be accessible to the outside. We need to be protective enough
Hey, I'm going to tell you, this church means something to me. And these walls right here, I mean, there's some things. Now listen, now I'm preaching to Unity Baptist Church and your church too. There's some things. Are you from Fundamental? Is that what I heard? All right. There's some things that's gonna happen at Fundamental Baptist Church. They don't need to leave the walls of Fundamental Baptist Church. There's things that's gonna happen at Concord. Brother Ricky don't need to leave. There's things gonna happen at Hurricane. They don't need to leave the four walls of this building. Boundaries, protection. There's things gonna happen in your church body. And you know what you do? You weep with them that weep. You rejoice with them that rejoice. But you know why Naboth didn't sell that vineyard? Because what was on the inside was precious to him. And he had labored. You know why Ahab wanted what was on the inside? Because he could see it. He could see. Hey, you can't see it in the wintertime. When the stuff gets cut away and people get upset and leave, you can't see that in the wintertime. When God's pruning and God's cutting back, you can't see that. But when the springtime's come and the grapes start hanging over the top, Ahab walked by and said, I think I like what's going on the inside of there. Give me that. I'm going to tell you what we ought to do. We ought to be Christian enough about us. You can stand for truth and not be arrogant and haughty. And if you think that's what I've been being tonight, I apologize to you if you've perceived that. That's not the truth. I remember where God brought me from. Amen. I was a lost sinner headed to hell doing 90 miles an hour. I didn't know no difference in Southern Baptist, Primitive Baptist, Regular Baptist, Independent Baptist, nothing. God saved me at home. I went to an Independent Fundamental Baptist church, walked in the door that day, still hadn't even had a good haircut. Now it's falling out. But still hadn't had, you know what them people did? Monday night I went to church. On Monday night I got saved at home, went to church on Monday night. Doug Brandon preached that night. Preached an hour and a half, hacked everything that moved. Everybody in the whole building looked like you could stick a coat hanger in their mouth. They was all smiling and laughing and praising God. I was like, that's the kind of place right there I want to go. I don't want to go somewhere where they look like they swallowed a sack of lemons and born on the dark side of the moon, drugged through the briar patch and knocked a lady with diesel fuel. Amen. That attracted me, and I went to that Independent Baptist church, and the preacher got up, and I'm talking about, and I appreciate what you said. Man, I'm trying to quit right here. Oh, my. I'm sorry. I did not mean preach this long. These boundaries are marked and maintained. Marked and maintained. A successful business owner can go to prison for crossing financial boundaries. A president can be impeached by crossing legal boundaries. A marriage can be destroyed by a spouse crossing marital boundaries. A ministry can be disgraced when a pastor crosses moral boundaries. And I'm telling you what could happen if we cross the boundaries of the Bible. Don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, and I don't either. But feelings are not affected by facts unless you allow them to be. There's some boundaries. Do you know what the preacher, you said, Brother Randy, you know, Brother Owen said that about Brother Allen. Brother Jimbo, you may have been there when it's happened. I'm sure he probably did it to you. I mean, I'm talking about Brother Ernest. Everybody in the whole church knew who he was talking to. You say who it was. You looking at him. Hey, boy. Hey, what you said the other day? I was like, Brother Samuel, you know what? Hey, boy, what you said the other day, I can go. Hey, it happened just like this. Somehow I ended up on the piano side. Don't ask me how or why I got over there. Hey, boy. Hey, what you said the other day, I can go with you a little way, but just wrong about that. I mean, you know. You say, what'd you do? I swallowed real big like Brother Travis Clayton taught me to. Amen. I tell you what I didn't do. I didn't get mad at the man of God. Hey, you ain't going to agree with everything your pastor does or says. But if God's put that man in your life to put some boundaries up in your life, you ought to thank God for it. It's valuable. I didn't get done, but I think I'm finished. The value of